Welcome to Create Your Reality, the show that empowers you with information on how to drive your brain and create a more purposeful, joyful, and fulfilling life for yourself in the process. Your host is Lynn Crocker. Each week, Lynn demystifies your brain's processes and shows you how to utilize tools that you already possess to identify habitual thought patterns that are not serving you. You'll hear from Lynn and other industry experts who will help you understand how your thoughts create your reality and how you can use this awareness to change your life from the inside out. This is all right here on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International.
Hi, and welcome to Create Your Reality. I'm your host, Lynn Crocker. Today I have the pleasure of chatting with Alicia Ripley. Alicia is a published author of 3 novels and numerous short stories and articles. She is a testament to what hard work, positive thinking, and directed focus can do. Alicia is here with me today to share her views on how everyone can utilize the power of positive thoughts and actions, taking risks, and thinking outside the box to create the reality they want. It's going to be a great show, so let's go ahead and get started. Hi, Alicia. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you very much.
I am just so excited to have you on. And so let's just get started. I mean, you are someone who has actively been creating her reality for a really long time. So just start off by telling listeners a bit about your journey as a writer.
Well, I've been writing for really as long as I can remember. It's funny when people say, they'll ask me, when did you know you wanted to be a writer? And the answer is just always so funny because I never knew anything else. I just was reading. I was reading since I was 2.
Wow.
And just always writing things down and jotting little notes. The handwriting was terrible, but the ideas were there. Mm-hmm. And then in the 80s, I had a trapper keeper full of ideas and mm-hmm. movies I wanted to write. And I started writing a story when I was 7 that, believe it or not, I'm going to release a short story collection of a lot of my real early work, and a story that I wrote when I was 7 is actually going to be included in it.
Wow.
It's called Motel for Dogs. It's a kind of a creepy story that, of course, we've re-edited, and my adult self has gone in and worked on and fleshed out, but I would say the real framework was done when I was 7. So it's just been a very long journey, and I knew I wanted to do it. I wanted to write books. I wanted to write movies. I wanted to be involved with film and TV. And then when I was 15, to make a very long story short, this is going back to, I would say, 1994, 95, back when there were writing contests.
Oh.
And I went to a very progressive all-girls high school, and one of my English teachers wanted me to submit for this New York State contest. Which I ended up winning, and then we submitted it again, and it won another large contest. And then they told me that this magazine called The Atlantic was having some kind of contest. Now, at the time, I didn't even understand it because there was no internet.
Yeah.
So you couldn't just go on and say, oh, what is this? You know, I just said, oh, a contest. Okay, we'll just send it in. And I just figured you'd get another $20, $25 check, which was great. To a 15-year-old, that was like $1,000.
Exactly.
You know, I had no real concept of money. I just loved doing it and that, you know, I could win something. So my teacher, probably a month or two after that, called me into her office and said, do you have a learner's permit yet or anything with photo ID and your birth date? And I said, yeah, why? And she said, because we actually had to get you into the contest. You're supposed to be, I think the deadline, you had to be 18. I was only 15.
Yeah.
And I was young, but they wrote a letter on my behalf. They ended up writing back that they didn't believe I was that young. They really thought the work was very mature. And long story short, I ended up winning it. So the main prize was that it was published in the magazine. So I was published at 15, and from that point on, my work has always been this. You know, when other kids were working at the Dairy Queen, I was writing. So it's been a long journey, but it's I knew what I wanted, and I think I just had no concept. And because my parents were so supportive, my mom and my stepdad, there was no concept in my mind of you can't do this or this is difficult or there's a lot of obstacles. So because I had none of that, I just sort of made it happen. So it's you know, I think a lot of people don't consider their job their identity, but I do because there's what I call jobs and then talent jobs. And talent jobs to me are if it's out of an artistic talent or a foreign language or something that is just part of you versus something you learn at a job,
mm-hmm.
I just think that it is. It is a real integral part of who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's your heart and soul. And so in sounds like in the very beginning you were just doing it almost naively. You know, as you said, your parents didn't
mm-hmm.
put up any kind of roadblocks of you can't do this and this is difficult. But when we talked before, it sounded like when you got into grad school, you're starting to get a little bit of a pushback of people telling you it is hard and you can't do this. So talk about that period a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. Well, I think if I didn't have the background that I did, things would not have gone the way that they did go in grad school because of my parents, because
mm-hmm.
of the high school that I had gone to, and because of the undergraduate college.
Mm-hmm.
I always made it very clear what I wanted to do. And when I got to grad school at NYU, which was a terrific program,
mm-hmm.
My work was, I mean, I didn't see it as being drastically different from other people's, maybe just in terms of plot. My stuff was more cinematic. It was more stuff that you would think of as a film.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember people just, it wasn't so much you're going to have a hard time. It was more just this overall ambiance of, oh, well, it's probably not going to happen for any of us just because even though we're some of the best, we're in one of the best writing programs,
mm-hmm.
it's so unattainable. And to me, I just thought that was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you guys don't want to be a career writer, be it a journalist, be it a novelist, be it in film, TV, and you're in New York City, which is the heart of making this happen, well, why are you here? Why are you spending your parents' money to do this? And
mm-hmm.
I realized I think a lot of people, and this is applicable for so many careers, but I think a lot of people just want to say they have written, not that they're writing. I think that they just want to get to the end point, but not fulfill the journey of what it takes to get there and the work.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people ended up kind of, you know, being in writer's workshops and trying to teach, which is wonderful. But
mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to be satisfied until I got published, or else I didn't the reason of being in this program.
Yeah.
So it seemed so silly. So I was there with a very different goal.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever anybody would have this ambiance about us, like, oh, well, maybe one of us will make it, or, you know, I don't know, it's going to probably take a long time, and
mm-hmm.
God knows how long it'll take to be published. I just was like, what planet are we on? If you didn't really believe you could do it, why are you here? So
mm-hmm.
I think that was my background kind of coming through, because I had probably a pre-natural strong sense of self
mm-hmm.
and sense of what I wanted to do from such a young age. And I really credit my education for that and my parents for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you had a kid who was reading it too and just wanted to write books and write movies and be involved in the entertainment business,
mm-hmm.
it was just, okay, what do we need to do to get there? Now, that road is not particularly easy, but
mm-hmm.
I just tried to do the smallest, you know, stay focused and accomplish small goals to get to the bigger goal.
Mm-hmm.
But grad school is a tough place for this, at least,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people want to do the same thing, and there's this pervading sense of, is anyone going to be able to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just kind of went in with a sense of, well, yeah, you know. Plus, I've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
That this is not new to me. This, I had been doing it for many, many years. So
mm-hmm.
I think you have to have, with artistic careers, a very clear goal of where you're trying to get to, because
mm-hmm.
there's always going to be naysayers, and there's always going to be people. I think I told you how when my first book, I was trying to get it published, and
mm-hmm.
people said, yeah, it's a really good writing, but it's too bold, it's too different, it's
mm-hmm.
too writing for a high common denominator, that's not what America is looking for right now,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're kind of crazy. Those are the exact same people that when I started getting really fantastic reviews
uh-huh.
were quoted in publications saying, oh, she's a genius, I always knew that. What? Like, that's not the positive reinforcement you gave me 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, once someone has success, a lot of people just want to say, oh, well, I always knew that. But there's
right.
very few people that understand the vision you're really trying to achieve at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that you're holding in your heart and holding for you. And so when you were hearing a lot of the negative or almost, I don't want to call them apathetic, but the views of your fellow students of saying, oh, you know, maybe we'll make it, maybe we won't. And you just had this drive, and you identified that the drive came because you've had it your whole life and you have had some success. But for somebody that is in that kind of a situation and around people that are saying we might make, we might not make it, what can you tell them to, you know, find within themselves to just find that strength to continue persevering?
I would say positive thinking is very important.
Okay.
But even more so than positive thinking, positive sort of goal brainstorming, because it has to be a mixture of wishing, dreaming, and taking action.
Mm.
And what I think really helps people persevere, I know it does for me, and I still do it to stay motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Think about why you want to do it. And I tell people all the time, particularly parents of teenagers who might come to like a Q&A that I'll do or a signing, the overall question I always get is, my child wants to write. They do this, this, and this. How do you make this happen? What do you do? And I always have to tell them, this day and age is very, very different than it was 30, 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, and I tell them, whether this sounds nice or not, it has to be the reality. If your child doesn't want this 100,000% and would put this as grade A priority, have them do anything else. Because it is not a job where you get a lot of immediate success.
Right.
And it takes time, and it takes support, and it takes sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So to stay motivated, the people that really want to do it, you have to always think to yourself, where am I? Where am I trying to get to? And what makes me feel good about that? So I always suggest, if you want to write, reread your favorite books. Watch your favorite movies.
Hmm.
Watch your favorite television shows. Stay really close to what it is you love and the feeling it gives you so that you stay on that path and remember why you're doing it. I love interviews. I listen to every interview with every celebrity or writer or writers are celebrities to me. Most people don't know who executive produce a show, but I'll read everything because I connect to how their mind works and I want to work with them and their creative process.
Mm-hmm.
So I find just staying very close to what it is you want, who you want to be like, and reading up on how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
You might not be able to do the exact same thing because not all of us live in LA or grew up there or have connections, but there's ways to do it. And it's like I think we were saying the other day, positive thinking is very important because if you allow negativity in, those windows in your mind, like windows on a computer screen, they start to close.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more you let negativity in, you start to say, I can't do it, I'm not good enough, and that inferiority complex I find is very, very pervasive in more people than would like to admit it. So you have to push that out, and you got to just stay close to what it is you love and be in it for the right reasons. Like monetary success is great, and when I get a really good royalty check, I'm thrilled because it allows us to live or live well or whatever you like to think of it as. But for this particular career and for many, you have to be in it for more than that because it takes a while to amass that. So you have to love it for that innate sense of joy that you get from being rewarded creatively or working with amazing people. Or for me, it's the Q&As. Writing a book is fantastic. I love the process of it. But the marketing of a book, and that's why I say if a teenager wants to do other things too, have them do that. Because you have to have the writing, but you got to have the personality that's comfortable going out there, talking to people, talking about the work, and seeking out marketing opportunities. So it's a different world now, and you have to do it. There's so much product out there.
Yes.
But you there's just so much that to distinguish yourself, you got to know yourself well. And that comes with time. So I just think if people feel that they stay connected to why they're doing it and all the right reasons of creative fulfillment, that everything else comes. to them later. Maybe later, but maybe right away. It depends for every person.
Yeah, it is different. But that question, if you're saying of keeping that, of why you want to do this, why you are doing this, I think it's very important. And I can hear in your voice, too, that it's just this very focusing back to you. And then you're continuing to surround yourself with things that keep you motivated, listening to interviews of other celebrity writers and out in the public talking to people. And so you made one statement that was for people to do things that continue to reconnect themselves back to the joy of what they want to do. And I thought that was really well put. As you're saying, reading a favorite book, you know, you read a book and you get this great feeling of like, oh, I love this writing, I love this writer, and so I want to do this. And so for listeners out there, that's a really great piece of advice. And I agree also that you need to really stay in that happy place, in that happy vibrational spot to continue to keep the motivation alive within yourself, because it's easy to get pulled off track, for sure. And you mentioned, mentioned a little bit about long-term vision. You know, how important is that as part of the process to have that vision of where you know where you're going to go?
I think it's integral. It was for me, because I don't feel that I can achieve goals without knowing where I would like to get to, so that I can keep track of the efforts that it takes to get there and progress. You always want to leave room for developments and surprises to happen. Kind of if you think of your life as the plot of a book or a movie, you can plot out the major points, but there's always small things that are going to happen and pop up randomly that can help you. But if you stay focused on the long-term goals, it keeps you very organized and on track and coming up with ideas of how to achieve them. Whether it's keeping folders on a computer, writing things down. Anytime I hear someone has an interesting publication or someone that might really enjoy my books, no matter how I hear about it, I write it down and find a way to contact them. It helps you be really proactive as well. But if you don't know exactly where you want to be, it's hard to find the ways or research how other people have gotten there. So I think it's very, very important. I've always been my goal on personal, like, self-actualization is learning to be in the moment. That's harder for me because I'm such a long-range, long-term thinker. So the planning part is very easy for me. But the rest of it, staying in the moment, can at times be a challenge because there's places I want to get to. And I always – you have to learn patience that it's not going to be overnight. So this is one career that definitely teaches that to you.
Yeah. And it's always very much a balance of – planning and staying in the moment. And so I'm happy to hear that you're working on that, because you need both. And some people that are too much in the moment don't achieve anything because they haven't planned far enough. And perhaps somebody that's too far in the planning isn't enjoying the process, you know, that
exactly.
it takes to get there. And as you keep pointing out, and it's a really great point, is if anybody's trying to achieve any kind of a goal, any kind of a long-term vision, it takes work. It takes consistent effort and, you know, positive thinking, important, but as I've used my term, you know, inspired action is also essential. You have to be, as you're saying, take that action on the physical plane and have it be something that you're enjoying. You know, you have, again, that high vibration of enjoyment, and it sounds like you've really got that mastered. I think you're quite an expert on this topic, on this subject, because you're walking the talk. I mean, you're doing it. You're clearly somebody that has entered into, you know, a field that is typically hard to break into. I don't want to be using these labels on it, but there's a lot of people that say they want to be writers and are trying to be writers and are not successful at it. And so to hear somebody, you, that you're young still and you've been doing this for a really long time, sharing how you stay motivated, how you've achieved the success, I know has been very useful for listeners. So I definitely appreciate you sharing that with the listeners.
Oh, good. Yeah. So, and I think thinking outside the box is important too.
Yeah,
just
talk about
that. As something. Because one thing I can quote from graduate school that always struck me as strange was, I remember, you know, towards the end of it, everybody wanting to know the next step and what do you do to get published. And I kept hearing the same suggestions over and over again, which was basically send a query letter to agents and then mm-hmm. see if they contact you.
Yeah.
And my thought was, if 8 million people are doing this,
right.
These agents are so overloaded
mm-hmm.
and they can only represent a very finite, specific kind of person because it's not easy to sell books.
Mm-hmm.
So it just didn't seem like the best idea for success.
Yeah.
So I think thinking outside the box for anything and being creative, that's helped me immensely
mm-hmm.
because the whole way I went about getting published was very different. And I went with a company that was originally just in Vancouver
mm-hmm.
and they sold books everywhere, but they were a Canadian company and they were small. Now they're big and they're mm-hmm. under Penguin. So it's different, but I just continue that way where
mm-hmm.
if everyone's sort of doing or thinking one way, what are the other ways? It's kind of like instead of taking a straight line there, what
mm-hmm.
where can you go around
mm-hmm.
and find an interesting path or find something that not everyone has done? And that's why I've had success, I think, is because,
mm-hmm.
you know, some people come up to me, I should say other writers,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of a backhanded compliment, but sometimes I have had people say, I don't understand this. How did you get in this paper? Like, how did this magazine know who you are?
Huh.
And they don't mean it to sound
no.
nasty, but, you know, you just always kind of have to laugh. I did work with a publicist for one of the books, and it was helpful to an extent, but not as much as you would have assumed.
Mm-hmm.
I just took the contacts, and I think of them less as contacts and more as relationships, like
mm-hmm.
furthering relationships
mm-hmm.
with media people. They want
mm-hmm.
to learn about who's doing what, who's out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think of people as, oh, I made a contact. It's, oh, I made a friend, and this girl
mm-hmm.
has a show, or this girl writes for such
right.
and such a magazine. So they stay up on what I'm doing and think it's interesting, and when
mm-hmm.
I have something new coming out, they call me. But that's not – it's amazing to me because I thought everybody would do that, but
mm-hmm.
many don't.
No.
So, thinking outside the box keeps your approach fresh. It keeps – I think the reason it helps is there's always something to be doing. It's a
mm-hmm.
job that never stops. There's
mm-hmm.
always someone else to contact. There's always
yeah.
a press release you can send.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that – staying true to who you are, how you do things,
mm-hmm.
Your approach and your particular goals and likes,
mm-hmm.
it's very important. And being able to do it in your own way.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you stand out and that's how your work stands out, if it's different from other people.
Yeah, and it's authentic that way too, because it's authentic to your personality
yeah.
and who you are. And so then that can definitely bring success. So I want to spend the next few minutes. I want listeners to know about your books. I mean, you've given a lot of great
oh.
information and really helped, I know, with the information presented. But talk about your books because I think they're very interesting. Again, you've kind
oh,
of
sure.
you've gone outside the box on them a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's my first book is called Traveling with an Eggplant. It came out in fall of 2005. That was based on my time in which I worked in music journalism.
Hmm.
And so the book deals a lot. I always tell people it's a bit scary, but it's sort of a modern day adventure within New York City.
Okay.
So it's about a music journalist in her 30s who wakes up on her college campus with amnesia and doesn't understand how she got there. And
oh.
the book is a retelling of what led up to
huh.
that point. And it's got a lot to do with 80s music. It has a lot to do with a relationship based on a friendship I made in college
mm-hmm.
With this neuroscientist, which is very bizarre and very funny.
Yeah.
But it also deals with a phantom kind of from the past, sort of about when we don't deal with things early in life, how they will come back to
uh-huh.
haunt us, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
So that book, that's got a lot going on in it. It's a fun story. It's presented in sort of a dramatic way where you have to follow the memories and the dream sequences.
Mm-hmm.
So that came out almost 10 years ago now.
Wow.
And then, yeah, which I can't believe. And then I moved to Los Angeles and I started a trilogy. There's two parts of it available right now, and I'm working on part three as we speak. The first part is called The Final Alice, and part two is called Alice's Army. And the books are about a descendant of Alice in Wonderland in modern-day America, who when the books begin is at a very low point, is very depressed. She's actually a writer by trade as well.
Mm.
Has had really nothing happen that she thought was going to. The hard work didn't pay off. And out of the blue, this talking deer speaks to her and says, you have a destiny completely outside of this, but we need you to say yes of your own accord. Something very bad's going to happen to America, to the people in America,
mm-hmm.
and the world, really. And it's up to you to stop this from happening. And it's a classic good versus evil, sort of a Jesus figure in a sense,
yeah.
against what would be the devil.
Uh-huh.
And it's a lot about transformation and personal, how we view our personal value.
Mm.
And part two takes place in Nigeria, which is kind of exciting. That book sort of is the darkest one of the trilogy. But there's something in it for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
They're straightforwardly written, but they're very thematically dense, and they're great for book clubs. I find that I've spoken at a lot of book clubs about these books.
Yeah.
So I'm working on the last one now.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they are great for the book clubs, and they're great for people that want to think and discuss them. And I'm just thrilled by how many different kinds of people like to read them, different ages, both genders, so I'm very happy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, kind of what is the target for the audience, or for the books, but it sounds like because of all the different themes in them, are they mainly adult books?
Oh, very much.
Yeah, okay.
Very much.
Okay.
I mean, precocious teenagers, yes. juniors and seniors in high school.
Gotcha.
Can like them, but they're very adult-based,
okay.
and it's really, to me, about an adult really refinding themselves because so many things in the culture now are really dedicated to kids and to teens and tweens, which is wonderful.
Right.
And I think there's some really well-read teens that could enjoy these books, but the book starts when the character's 30.
Okay.
So it's really about adults thinking about what they've achieved and what else is out there for them.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I agree. There is a lot of books for adolescents and kids to help instill these ideas and help them explore what their values are and form who they are. But a lot of adults haven't had that going up in childhood. And so I think it's great that it is targeted towards them and perhaps will allow them to, as you said, redefine themselves, refine themselves, and maybe let go of some of the childhood things, the messages that weren't that positive. And then,
right,
you know,
exactly.
Recreate their adult life in the way they want it to be. Because it's really never too late to, you know, create your life and recreate your reality, that's for sure.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And I think where people get stuck is when they think that it is. That,
yeah.
You know, I have to do what everyone else is doing, and I haven't achieved this. And I just tell people, we're here for a really short period of time when you think about it. And that goes through my head every day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to leave behind? And that's where it comes back into about the monetary rewards. Money's great, but at the end of the day, when I'm no longer here, I only write books that I'm proud of. You know, this trilogy, at the end of the day, next year it comes out, it'll have taken up 10 years of my life.
Wow.
It'll have gone from my late 20s to my late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have done it if I didn't believe in the message that was there. The fun stuff and the fantasy elements of it are fun and they're metaphors, but the message is something that's really important to me.
Wow. Well, I hope you've inspired listeners out there to just really, you know, find their passion, find what they want to do, and do something, again, that inspires them and that they feel will leave a legacy for when they're gone. Because I agree, we are here for a short period of time, and I think we've all got our point of reference and the point of entry into the world, the mark that we want to make, and you've definitely found yours, and it sounds like you're being quite successful at it. So where can listeners find your books?
They can find them really anywhere. They are available online for any of the online sellers. They're in print and for people who have the e-readers. So if you have a Nook or a Kindle, they're available for those.
Okay.
You can go to your bookstore. A lot of them do stock them. If it's not in stock, you can just ask them and they'll order it.
Cool.
And if anyone wants first editions, they can contact me on my Facebook or my Twitter pages, and I do have first edition copies that I can sell people that are the original run, only one of 100.
Yeah.
So anyone who likes to collect, that's always a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So is the best way to connect with you through your website?
Yeah, AliciaRipley.com is good,
okay.
But I'm pretty active on my Facebook page.
Okay.
I try to update the Facebook fan page and my Twitter. Anyone can get in touch with me through there.
Okay, so if they just search on Facebook for Alicia Ripley,
yeah,
pop on
yeah,
up.
It'll
okay.
come right up.
Great. Awesome. Well, we are definitely getting close on time, so I want to thank you again for everything that you've offered and really everything that you're doing. It sounds like you are putting some really positive messages out there and the time that you're spending out in the public talking about passion and motivation and doing things that you love, I know is extremely valuable. So thank you for everything that you're doing to help uplift the world.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. Be sure to tune in next week.
You've been listening to Create Your Reality on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. Tune in next Monday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time to hear more from Lynn and her guests. If you want to re-listen to this show or previous shows, you can find them at createyourrealityradio.com or createyourreality.podomatic.com. Thanks for listening.